So there's an old story. I'm fairly certain it's an urban legend, but I think it's fun no matter what. An old story that there was this woman who was reaching the end of her life, and one day she went into her pastor, and she said, "When I die, I want to be buried with a fork in my hand." And he said, "Well, why would you want to be buried with a fork in your hand?" She said, "Well, you know, whenever you eat dinner, they would always tell you to keep your fork when they cleared all the plates. And you did that because you knew that dessert was coming. And so when I die, I want to be buried with a fork in my hand so that when people pass by to pay their respects, they'll say, 'Why does she have a fork in her hand?' And you can tell them it's because she knew that the best was yet to come." The best is yet to come. This is the hope of Christmas Day. We've been looking together at how we wait, how we're waiting for God to fix what's broken in this world, how we're waiting for God to set to right all that is wrong. But I think when we get a sense of just how big the good news of Christmas is, that it takes our breath away. And so today we think about what it means to wait with bated breath, so in awe of the good news of Jesus' birth that we can hardly breathe. We've been looking together at how we wait using the book of Isaiah. And we've seen several themes as we've walked through the book of Isaiah, themes of how it's okay to be angry with God, themes of comfort and hope. But one of the big themes that runs throughout the book of Isaiah that we haven't really looked at yet is this big picture of what God is doing. There's this theme that shows up again and again and again in Isaiah, that God is fixing everything. Right? So we might think of some of the famous passages that promise things like, one day the lion will lay down with the lamb. The big picture of what God is doing. We might think of passages like the promise that one day all of our swords will be beaten into plowshares and our spears into pruning hooks. The promise of a world at peace. A big picture of what God is doing. And one of the passages that gives us a picture of this big picture hope is Isaiah 35. And in Isaiah 35, verses 1 through 2, we read these words. "The desert and the parched land will be glad. The wilderness will rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it will burst into bloom. It will rejoice greatly and shout for joy. The glory of Lebanon will be given to it, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God." There's two triads in this passage, two sets of three: the desert, the parched land, and the wilderness. Lebanon, Carmel, Sharon. Lebanon, Carmel, and Sharon, these are the places that are known for their fertility. They are known for the fact that they bring forth abundance year after year after year. We might remember some of the stories in the Old Testament of the cedars of Lebanon. These were the trees that were known for their strength, their beauty. And God says, where there is the desert, where there is wilderness, where there is dry ground, one day creation itself will be brought into abundant flourishing. Everything will be as it should be. Now, this isn't to say that desert and wilderness are bad things in and of themselves, but if you live in ancient Israel and you are dependent on abundant crops for your life, or if your flocks are abundant, are dependent on abundant grass for their food, the idea that the wilderness, the desert, and the parched land will blossom and bloom is a promise that God is setting everything to right. We might recall all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 that the very first thing that happens after humanity sins is that God says that the relationship between us and one another, the relationship between us and God, but also the relationship between us and creation has been knocked off kilter. So this promise in Isaiah chapter 35 is saying that everything is going to be set right, that the ways in which all of creation is not the way it's supposed to be will be fixed. It's the big picture of what God is doing. The big picture hope and promise. But it's also not just about that big picture. The desert, the parched land, the wilderness. We know that there's a personal, spiritual dimension to this. As we've looked at the book of Isaiah over the course of these last 4 weeks, we've said a couple of times that Isaiah takes place before and during the exile. And that break comes in Isaiah chapter 39. And so this morning, here we are in Isaiah 35. God is still trying to warn the people of Judah about what will happen if they don't turn away from worshiping idols. What will happen if they don't stop putting themselves at the center of the story? That they'll go into exile. And so here in Isaiah 35 is an invitation to the flourishing that God is inviting them to experience. God is saying, if you turn from what you're doing, if you repent, this is what happens. The desert, the wilderness, the parched land will become vibrant with life. Where there is spiritual death, is an invitation to come alive. And God says through Isaiah, this is how you're going to know that this big picture plan of restoration, this is how you're going to know that it's coming true. In verse 5, it says, then at that time, will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped? Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. It says this is the sign that things are beginning to change. This is the sign that God's kingdom, the way that things are supposed to be, this is how you're going to know that it's coming true. Well, look what happens in Matthew chapter 9. First, in verse 6, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat, and go home. Then the man got up and went home. Then in verse 29, Jesus touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their sight was restored. And then just 4 verses later, in verse 33, and when the demon was driven out, the man who had been mute spoke. Those promises of Isaiah chapter 35. That way of knowing that the kingdom of God is here. They come true through what Jesus does. See, when Jesus heals the paralyzed man, the blind, the mute, it's a way of showing, of demonstrating that this promise of Isaiah, this big picture of what you've been waiting for, this big picture of everything that's broken being made right, it's coming true now. Now we know that everything hasn't been made perfect yet. We know that we are still waiting for the day that God fully restores all of creation. But what Jesus does through his healing ministry on earth, what Jesus does through his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, He says, what you have been waiting for, it's here. And it is breaking in all around us if we have eyes to see it. You see, I think when we think about the hope of Christmas, I think we need to think about it on a couple of different planes, a couple of different levels. On one level, the birth of Jesus means that we have personal hope, that God is extending to me and to you and to everyone the invitation to be made right with God. God is extending to me, to you, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our colleagues, the invitation to know the hope and the comfort and the joy and the love that is Jesus Christ. It is deeply personal for me, for you, for every single person to know the love of God. But on another level, if all we ever think about is that personal hope, we miss out on this beautiful picture of God working to restore and redeem everything. That it's not just about my individual salvation. It's not just that God is inviting me into relationship with Jesus, but that God, through the birth of this child on Christmas Day, the lame are leaping for joy. The blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the mute are speaking, because the kingdom of God is here and everything that is broken is being made right. The hope of Christmas, the good news of the birth of Jesus, is that not only am I made right with God, but all of creation, everything that's broken, is being made right. It is deeply personal. And yet, for every single person everywhere. On another level, in some ways, the good news of Christmas is that we have eternal hope. What is my only comfort in life and in death? That I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, that we know, we trust that God is going to set everything to right, and we will enjoy that perfection, that kingdom of God forever. And so we trust that even when things are not going the way they should be, we trust that God is still with us. We trust that one day everything that's wrong will be made right. And we have the knowledge and assurance that because of the birth of this child on Christmas Day, because of his death and his resurrection, that we are invited to have eternal hope. But if all we ever consider is the future hope, then we're missing part of the story. Because it's not just that God is going to set everything to right. It's not just that we have an escape plan to get out of this world that's not the way it's supposed to be. It's that God is working to set everything right now. In verse 8, he says, a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. Remember the highway from a couple weeks ago? God is building a highway. God is restoring and fixing what's broken now. Jesus demonstrated through his life that the kingdom of God is here. There is hope in the future. There is eternal hope, yes, but there is also what God is doing right now, and we get to be a part of it. As I think about these four layers, the personal hope of Christmas, the global hope that God is fixing everything, the future hope that one day everything will be right, and the present reality that God is inviting us to join that now. Well, I think about dessert. I often think about dessert. And I think of Death by Chocolate. My mom used to make this, still makes it sometimes. It's a layer of brownies, a layer of chocolate pudding, a layer of Cool Whip, a layer of toffee, and then you repeat. Now here's the thing about Death by Chocolate. Any one of those layers is good on its own. Brownies, love them. Chocolate pudding, great. Cool Whip, I've seen Brian Myers eat a bowl of nothing but Cool Whip. Let's be honest, I would do it too. Every layer on its own is great. But it's not the dessert until you dig in and eat all of it together. Friends, I think that's the way it is with the hope of Christmas. If all we have is one layer of this picture, well, that's good. It's wonderful. But there's something so much greater that we get to be a part of. Some of us are really good about, and we get and we connect with the hope that God's fixing what's broken now, but we don't always get it in our heart that the God of the universe loves me, that I have this hope. Friends, that was my story. I could have told you all about what God is doing. I could tell you all about what God is doing to fix and restore everything. I had this wonderful big picture of what God is doing. I had that all the way through seminary. It wasn't until much later that I finally came face to face with the fact that I knew that God's promises extended to everyone else. But I didn't really believe it for myself. I only had a couple layers of the dessert. Some of us have this wonderful, joy-filled relationship with Christ. And we know in our heart of hearts that we are assured of our salvation and we have a vibrant faith and we are so filled with hope and joy that we get to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. But we may be missing what God is doing all around us to fix what's broken everywhere. This week we had one of the moms of one of our Kids Hope students come by. And we sent her home laden with Christmas gifts for her kids, blankets to keep warm, a winter coat. That's part of what God is doing to fix what's broken everywhere. But as we prayed with her, we also prayed that she and her boys would know the love of God, that she would feel that love and that embrace through the church. Friends, we all need the gospel. We all need this full, four-layered dessert. Because all of us need God to fix what's broken everywhere, and we all need God to restore each and every one of us. God is working to fix what's broken inside of us and all of creation. And because of that, we know and we trust that the best is yet to come. Not just forever, but the best is yet to come today, tomorrow, next week, next month, into all of eternity. Not just for me, not just for you, but for all of creation. So let's grab a fork. Dig in to the whole story, the whole dessert. because the best is yet to come. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your promise that not only others, but I too have had my sins forgiven and been made forever right with God. Thank you for the assurance that not only are we invited to spend eternity with you, with all things made the way they should be, but that you invite us to experience that hope and that fullness of life and that vitality now. God, may we spend each day in the joy, the hope, and the peace of that full story of the birth of your Son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. I invite you to stand and receive God's blessing.